I hope that we do. I really hope that we do. Our voices matter, and we have to be a little more strategic about our safety, but we can make change very
imminently. Alana Glazer, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Alana Glazer, comedian, writer, actress, co-creator, star of the hit Comedy Central show Broad City. You can go to our website to see the images at democracynow.org. A very fond farewell to our dear producer, Laura Gottesdiener. I have no words. Thank you so much for all of your contributions here over these years. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Laura Gottesdiener, Nerman Sheikh, Carla Wills, Tammy Warnoff. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
The Dearborn Public Library is offering a Food for Fines program, which will run November the 1st through the 17th. Library patrons may donate non-perishable, non-expired food items and receive a $1 reduction in overdue library fines for every item donated. Dearborn firefighters will distribute all donations to needy local families through the Burn Drive Food Cupboard. For more information, call 313-943-2330.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are those of the hosts, producers, and guests, not necessarily those of WHFR, its licensee, Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees. Enjoy!
Good afternoon. Welcome to the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. Well, let's see. The ghosts, the goblins, the vampires, the zombies, they're all put away for another year. We've moved into the month of November, which, you know, I don't know about you, but, everyone complains that Christmas starts, like, sometime in September. But, when people start complaining Christmas starts too soon, I'm going to point out all of their, like, Facebook posts that, like, started talking about Halloween on October 1st. It seemed like Halloween lasted a month, I got to say. I don't know. But anyway, so.
Oh, that's great. And I'm with you. I completely agree. Although there's something to me about Halloween, you know, pumpkins right next to Christmas trees at the Walgreens. It drives me crazy. It's like, let's just finish that one and then bring the other one in. But
it's been a nice diversion.
That's
however,
true. That's
it,
true.
There has been this underlying thread, certainly as the drums beat louder for the next few days, that there is a very important, midterm elections coming up. Presidential elections, that 4-year cycle is obviously the biggie. But this one, I don't think flies under the radar anymore, because people look at it as a very important, situation to evaluate where we're at midterm of the presidential cycle, and decide what kind of country we want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we've talked in past weeks, Alan, about how really many of these sort of smaller races or more localized races really are the ones that affect us as citizens of Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, Detroit metro area, more than, believe it or not, even the President of the United States. These are the things that are involved in taxes and roads and local, everyday, day-to-day kinds of things. And so a lot of important decisions to be made this coming Tuesday. A lot of people on the ballot for the first time. A lot of issues going on as well.
We're going to talk about a lot of that today, aren't we?
We really are. Yeah. but I think what's exciting for our perspective today is that we're going to try to do this as much from a student and younger person perspective as we possibly can. Now, we are always thinking of ourselves as students, Alan, even
yes.
though we're instructors, but students of life.
And always trying to improve and always trying to learn things.
It's true.
But when it comes to voting in elections and, it's kind of old hat for us. We've been around the block a few times when it comes to these things. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I agree with you. I think this is a tremendous opportunity because it is important because, when all said and done, they're going to be carrying the torch for this whole process of democracy, into the future, hopefully for, decades after we're no longer around to participate.
So, you got it.
I don't mean that to be like a downer or anything like that. So.
Not at all. It's actually, in fact, probably truer words, you know, than you've spoken in a while. So it's going to happen to all of us. But we are excited and motivated about the energy, not only on this campus, but in our local communities when it comes to young people getting involved in the voting process and students, literal as well as figuratively speaking, students of this this process, perhaps even for the first time. On our campus, we are so thrilled to have Anthony Perry, who is in political science, and so involved in getting student engagement. And he holds an annual political engagement issues type of a conference for not only our students on campus, but also people from around the area, bringing in some of the most intelligent and informed candidates, as well as people that are leading this process of getting us informed when it comes to voting rights and different partisan ballots and so on and so forth, so that we can understand what we're doing moving forward. But it's not always easy for students. However, I understand that this particular engagement session was stupendous, just a wonderful experience. So happy that one of our guests in our first segment today was able to be there and be a part of this. So we're going to hear firsthand what that was all about. And then we're going to talk about a student's perspective of what election time means to them and what they're doing to try to get it to mean something to others as well. So in studio today, we have two students of Henry Ford College, Kiara Scott and Selena McCray. And yes, ladies, so happy to have you here. Welcome to our studio.
We're happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourselves. What are you studying in school? Kiara, we'll start with you, and then we'll move over to Selena. Both, I think, fascinating areas of study. So it's,
and it's don't cool. Don't be afraid of those microphones. They don't bite.
Feel free.
I zoomed in. Well, I'm studying sociology, law, and social justice, and I was also double majoring in economics. I'm part of the Henry Ford Transfer to Bridges program, so I'll be starting at University of Michigan Ann Arbor in January. So
congratulations.
It's just really exciting to be a part of all of the whole movement with voting, because traditionally college students have not been involved, and the fact that we have taken such an active role this election is just really, it's exciting. It's exciting. So.
Great. Definitely. Great. And how about you, Selena?
I have been in Henry Ford for a year. I mean, I'm sorry, 2 years. I'm doing a 3+1 program currently. Going to Medina University.
What are you studying?
Criminal justice. Thank you.
All right.
I was trying to hit all the points. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's
yes,
that's
I'm
great.
Studying criminal justice. I wasn't fortunate enough to come to the event, but I am very passionate about voting November the 6th. So I guess we can just start talking about
yeah,
that.
Let's jump in, shall we?
Yes.
So Kiara, you were at the event on campus, and you know, you went in, I'm not sure if you were expecting anything specific, but when you came out, how did you feel different? How did you feel changed? What were you informed with that you maybe didn't know on your way in?
Well, for one, I felt empowered, because just to see so many people my age care about the same issues that I care about, it was empowering, because a lot of times you feel like no one is hearing you out as a student, you know, and just to know that you had faculty and staff, you know, that had supported us throughout this entire thing, it gave me a sense of belonging. Like I do have a voice in this political process. So it was awesome. We got 316 students to register to vote that day.
Wow.
And we had plenty of pizza, and some local candidates came, and they answered some of our questions, and they gave us some of our views. So it was great. It was awesome. I heard a really interesting piece on gun violence, something I'm really passionate about, because I've lost like 3 friends just this year to gun violence.
Wow.
So, you know, it was great. I mean, no other way to put it. I didn't expect to see that many faces, but it was awesome. So shout out to Dr. Perry for putting that together. That was really Awesome.
Yeah. And you clearly in your voice, and I can see you face to face, your energy is just hard to contain, which is a wonderful thing. And that really is sort of what's pushing this, it seems like. I've never seen such energy in recent years in terms of any type of an election process. It is this just this physical enthusiasm for wanting to do something positive, wanting to make an impact, that seems to be what's moving this whole political season. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, because like as a millennial, I think a lot of times we get counted out and deemed as lazy and uninvolved, you know.
I've
and
heard that.
A lot
yeah.
of times, not that we just have a different way of showing it, but you know, I think with everything that's going on, it was if anything, it's a wake up call that. It's time for us to start exercising our rights, because if we don't use them, we could lose them. So, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Selena, in the process of studying criminal justice, I'm sure the political system and the legal system is on the forefront of just about every lecture, correct. Every you know discussion, because mm-hmm. it does so, in fact, impact it.
Definitely.
You know, our laws, our rules, and so on. What has been the motivation for you, perhaps, in the academic setting or even just personally, in terms of wanting to be really involved more than ever before?
Me personally, I am 29 now, and I'm noticing that the older I get, the more the political scene is in front of my face. Mm. So it's always there. I'm really getting engaged to it, because there's certain things that I can and can't do, because just off the strength that I was uneducated and about the political scene, but I have a voice, you know, so my voice can affect different things that I'm doing now that I want to do, like buy a house or just ride down the street, keep getting potholes. I'm just so tired of that. But yes. Just different things that I know that will help me and help my future generation, you know, carry on. So, and then with the criminal justice field, I feel like I can make a difference. Mm-hmm. I can just, you know, help. My whole goal is to help everyone. You know, if I can just hug the whole world, I would. If I had enough funds, I would. Mm-hmm. And I know that one stepping stone to get there is to get out and be a voice and vote. So.
Yeah. What would you like to do as a career, say, 5 years down the road?
I'm pushing for probation and parole, but I'm kind of going for just taking it one step at a time. Whatever way God leads me, I'm going. Mm-hmm. So me and Kiara had this thing when we first met each other 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
That she's going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be a probation officer. And we're going to
work
help
together.
Yes. We're going to be Bonnie and Clyde, Batman, Robin, whoever. This is what we're going to do. And we keep saying it over and over. Every time we get a class, we struggle. Like, oh my God, no. She's like, come on, Selena, because we're going to change the world together.
Oh. So, if we could bottle this up, Alan, I'm
yes.
telling you.
it does bring up kind of an important question. And, you know, maybe, I mean, you open the millennial bottle, right? You know, and you know, I'm coming at it from, you know, dad perspective. How does that happen when there's this enthusiasm and maintaining, you know, sort of a lifelong energy in the political process versus being disillusioned? Because, like I said, this between Susan and I, this ain't our first rodeo. Mm-hmm. How do you anticipate? Obviously working hard towards positive change. Can take time, right? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, how are you prepared to deal with that?
Well, being that my mother had me at 16, my perspective of things is a little different, because mm-hmm. I kind of grew up with my mother. So I got to see where she made mistakes, which changed the way I viewed when I made mistakes. And now that I have a 10-year-old, the way I look at it now is that what I've learned is that you can't force anybody to do anything, but you can lead by example. So just talking to my friends about getting involved, and you know, whether it's, hey Selena, come on, let's go talk about midterm elections, or just being there, being present and showing people who might not even understand what's going on that you don't have to understand But as long as you participate, the understanding will come along with it. So that's how.
If I can chime in as well, I think it will help if we learn about it early on. And you know, teach our children at a young mm-hmm. age that this is something that it's a right. It was given to you, you know. So if
sometimes you have to fight for
it. It was given to us because, you know, back in the days it wasn't everybody wasn't equal, you know. So since our fathers, our founding fathers and our ancestors and great uncles or whatever did the slavery thing and they rioted and they did everything that they could to get us to this place, we should be respecting them, because if it wasn't for them, we would still be in the same situation, you know. So I feel like if we just teach our children, like I have an 11-year-old daughter, so I try to talk to her about it a lot, you know, because a lot of, as always, you hear in one voice that your vote matters, in another ear you hear, oh, it don't matter. Oh my God, da, da, da. It's only the people in power, the rich right. people, and you know, certain classes that votes. But I can remember when I first voted. My first voting was when Obama was in office.
Mine too.
When Obama was in office, I just know how it felt. Like I was doing something. Excited. Like I was proud. Like yes, I finally get the vote. And you know, not just that it was an African American vote, and I mean that you can vote for, but mm-hmm. it's just. It felt like it was a stepping stone. Like it was like, oh, I'm grown. I'm growing up, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and then on top of that, when he won, I was like, oh, I helped him win. Like, yes, yes. So I was very excited about that, you know? So I that's what I was saying. Like, if we just start from, you know, when they just babies and just talk to them, you know, it's not always boring, because half of the stuff now that I know, I didn't know until I came to college.
And plus you keep them engaged too. Yeah. Like I took my daughter to see Obama when he came this Friday.
Mm, yep.
And that was like, it was just, to watch my daughter and my grandmother like look at the president face to face. Like that was so empowering. You know, like representation matters. Like just mm-hmm. being on those bleachers and saying I'm here and I'm representing what I feel is right. Man, I can't even describe. Mm-hmm.
Wow, you are very.
I think you've explained it quite articulately.
I was going to say, the way you're explaining this is giving me goosebumps. There's this term out there called apathy, and what you're speaking to is sort of the opposite. So in defining apathy, it's sort of the opposite of what these two young women have been talking about, and that is, I don't care. It's not going to make a difference anyway. I'm not interested, or I cared for that one election, but none of it went my way. Mm-hmm. So I'm beaten down. I'm tired of watching the news.
I'm done with it.
Just tuning out. Somebody else can deal with it.
I think that's what happened in our last election, and we see what happened. I'm telling you, he is the reason why I'm in school right now. I cried so hard that day. That night. I cried my eyes out. But it also encouraged, like, you know what? I'm about to do this. I was like, I registered for school that following semester. Wow. And I've been on the dean's list since. So you know what? It was like something bad can happen, or something you don't see it coming, that working out that way. And you can either take that and use that as motivation to do something positive, mm-hmm. or you can wallow in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's that silver lining that they talk about, that the clouds have. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, whatever the motivation, you girls certainly are motivated.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
Yes.
Both as students, as mothers, and you know, and grandchildren, perhaps, mm-hmm. you know, but also really as, you know, as citizens. And like you said, it's this process of knowing that even as one single citizen, I can make a difference, whether it's just making taking the initiative, making that effort and getting out and making that vote, mm-hmm. or really espousing what you feel to others to impact and affect positive change. Mm-hmm. And I think even like you said at the conference that took place, how many hundreds of people did you guys register to vote?
316.
That's a lot of votes. That's incredible. It really is. Mm-hmm. So do you see yourselves as sort of champions of the cause of being an American citizen, of being a human being, of being a parent, a student? What where are you identifying? I guess because you're touching bases on a lot of different areas.
I feel like just as an American, it's my civic duty to uplift the next generation, because they are a representation of me. And I think a lot of times we forget about that because we throw money in the equation. But the reality is, if worst come to worst, money doesn't mean anything either. So where are the moral principles that you stand on? And so that's why I feel like it's necessary and it's important. And that's just where I'm at with it. Like, it just should be an automatic given because someone did it for you, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. How about you, Selena?
Where do I identify myself? I'm just proud to just be a part of anything that helps anyone. I'm just like, anything I can do to help the next person, I'm very excited about it. I'm very passionate about that. So I'm just, I mean, even if I just bring one person to the pole, you know, I can bring my best friend or my cousin, like, come on, let's go. Just be that, person. I just want to just be that person that people can look at and say, oh, she helped out. You know, she helped me. She helped change my life. Rather, it's not even just going and do that one vote, you know, just casting that one vote, but, you know, throughout life, just in general. So.
Wow. Well, Ellen, I'd like to say that we at Henry Ford College can take credit for these two young women and everything they're going through.
I'm glad that we can.
Let's accept that, shall we?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But we know it's more than just a strong
They probably brought a lot to the table, to be honest with you.
I'm thinking that's the case. We're going to take a little bit of credit, though, here at Henry Ford College. So excited for your enthusiasm and your level of motivation, ladies. I can just imagine the effect that the waves of sunshine and energy and intelligence that's coming out of you as you're talking to other people. So keep up the great work. Much success in your academic process, and much success as being free thinking, intelligent citizens of this great nation.
Indeed. And it's been great to to visit them today. And Election Day really is that one day where obviously there's a lot of division. There's a lot of tension across the political spectrum for whatever reason. It's the one day where you walk into the polls behind somebody who's wearing a button for a candidate you know you're not going to vote for, and you're wearing a button for a candidate you know that they're not going to vote for. Hopefully, when all is said and done, it's really the one last thing. One of the few, it seems, that we have in common is our ability to express ourselves in that way when it comes to the voting booth.
Good way to put it. Final thoughts, ladies, as we wrap up today, and we've got Kiara and Selena both here with us today. Anything you'd like to share that we haven't touched base on in the last moment?
Nope. I just want everybody to go out and vote. Just vote.
Do it.
Wanted to add. When we go out and vote today, well, November 6th.
Mm-hmm. Tuesday, yeah.
Tuesday. Make sure that you vote for principles and not party.
Right.
And do the right thing, because it's enough people out here doing the wrong thing.
All right. We'll leave them with the last words.
I like it.
All right.
Sounds good.
We've got more to come on the way. We're going to actually talk to another student of Henry Ford College that is taking that next step and actually running for office this time around. So it's always exciting. And then we're going to wrap things up today with some information on those that are getting involved in a sort of a media-oriented way to get the vote out. And then we'll talk sports, as we always do. This is the WHFR Journal. Stay with us.
What's good, WHFR loyal listeners? I'm your boy, Baby B, and I want you to come chill with me each and every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon with the House Party as I light up the airwaves and heat up your Tuesday mornings as I bring you the best in hip-hop and R&B. We turning up. We having fun. I'm burning the house down. It's gonna be dope. Tune in Tuesdays, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, the House Party, Baby B. B to the A to the B to the Y to the B. You know who I be.
Welcome back. We are in the election season, and this is our pre-election edition of the WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw and Alan Mazurek here. Hard to believe that we only have a few more days until this whole thing is going to come to a head, and then, well, we'll be talking about it for the next 6 months after the fact.
Well, or thankfully, there's only a few more days before this whole thing comes to a head, and we can sort of start out and chart the course for the next couple of years, right?
That's a good way to look at it. I like that one. We are joined in studio at this time as we are kind of celebrating student involvement in the political process with a student of Henry Ford College who also happens to be running for State Senate District 3. Hallie McCachran is joining us today, and she is a part of one of the other parties. It's not just the Democrats and the Republicans, as we know, in political office, but Hallie represents the Working Class Party, and she is on the ballot here in 2018. The Working Class Party has only been on the ballot twice in this election series of election seasons, 2016 and 2018. So it's a little bit new. There are only three candidates in 2016, and there are 11 candidates in 2018. So the Working Class Party is getting bigger, and it's always interesting to see different perspectives, different approaches to this political process. We are most excited to have Hallie here. Alan, as you know, as we've been trying to kind of get into the minds of our students in the community and this campus community to think about what their concerns are, what their issues are, and clearly Hallie had some pretty big concerns and issues to actually be running for office. So
sure.
This is exciting.
And then, you know, first hurdle is, you know, as teachers is to get them to show up to class, and then as citizens to encourage them to go out and to vote. And then obviously somebody who's taken the next step and decided to sort of, you know, put her name out there on the ballot. And I guess, you know, kind of first question, Hallie, what made you decide to not only, you know, be a student, not only be a voter, but to be somebody who wants to contribute to the political process by you know, running as a candidate?
Well, I would say what inspired me was every week I would take my dog for a walk through Lincoln Park, and it's just crumbling. I don't like how it looks, the parks, the neighborhoods, and when you look around in the neighborhood, who lives there? It's all workers, people working hard, working long hours. They're very underpaid. So I just first witnessed that and then looked more into it and realized there's no reason for this. It's lack of representation in our government. So I want to get out there. And I met Marianne, who was my professor.
You're talking about Marianne Herring,
yes,
who was a former director of student activities here, actually, at Henry Ford College, and a professor. And what is she teaching you?
She teaches
right now
psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And she told our class things that I really agreed with, how she's fed up. And she talked about, the thing I remember is infant mortality rates. So people in low-income hospitals losing their babies from preventable things. That's the first thing we talked about. But
And she clearly charged her students with thinking of ways to make a difference, mm-hmm, and thinking of ways to be a part of the process of change, not the process of, you know, keeping the cycle going. And you took that to heart. Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
How did your family react to the idea that you wanted to run for political office?
My family is very supportive. They think it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always agree, but that happens in families. It's more about the workers and organizing people and bringing them together.
Mm-hmm. So there's respect, mutual respect for opinions and differences of opinions.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
Very important. Mm-hmm. Can you walk us through the process itself? When you had that, so that green light click on in your head, and you're like, I'm gonna research this, and then you finally found a party that you affiliated with, that you mm-hmm felt comfortable with being a part of. What was the actual process to go from making the decision to ultimately getting your name on the ballot, just for others that have no idea how this whole thing works?
So it is a difficult process, especially for third parties that don't receive financing. We have a really good team, which is good. They do a lot of work for us, but we just have to fill out paperwork, and I had to give speeches, which definitely pushed me out of my comfort zone. And going out, talking to people, mm-hmm, on the streets. We don't get TV time or anything. This is an awesome opportunity to be on the radio. I love it. Thank you very much. But it's rare. Mm-hmm. So we just have to go out on the street, talk to people, say, here's a leaflet. Please read it. Join us. We need to work together. It's not just going to take me or Marianne or Gary or Sam or any of the candidates running. It's going to take all of us working together and fighting for what we need.
And knowing, I mean, when you say that third party, obviously, you know, the political process, it basically all levels of government across the country, with, you know, probably very few exceptions, are controlled by two parties or notable independents. You know, what is the goal? You know, I mean, yeah, what is it to be that third party, and what is it you're trying to accomplish in terms of doing it? You know, it seems obviously like an uphill climb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, where do you hope to be at the end of this election cycle? Obviously, you're hoping that, you know, that you're going to be elected to office, and that's why you run for office. But, you know, what is it that the party's looking for?
The goal is to get the people that don't vote to vote first. The second goal is to get, I mean, I don't want to list the goals in order. There's so many goals.
Sure.
That
sure.
are important.
And not necessarily in any priority order at any given time. I'm sure they shift, don't mm-hmm. they? But what are some of the other ones, as Alan's asked?
Just to bring workers together and get our needs met. Our communities look terrible, and working class communities, our hospitals are failing bad. The goal is to organize and fight, take our money back that's stolen.
Explain stolen, if you don't mind.
I mean that every week we get taxes taken out of our paycheck, and we pay high insurance rates, high rent. And so when we pay this money, we expect it to come back to us. It doesn't. It goes to corporations or just in some rich person's pocket. They're profiting from taxes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, interestingly, I know some grown adults that would never want to have a conversation like that, mm-hmm. whether they believe it or not, especially the ones that would believe it, because of all the pushback that you would potentially be getting. Mm-hmm. All the people say, what? That's not a majority attitude. That's mm-hmm. a very sort of a tunnel vision approach. And whether I believe it or I'm willing to admit that I believe it, mm-hmm. It's uncomfortable to raise issues like that, especially with, you know, we are such a two-party, you know, entity right now. What kind of response do you get from people when you go out and meet them? Has it been mostly positive? Have people been polite? Have they listened? Do you think you swayed mm-hmm. some people to kind of at least look further into what you're talking about? As a young, and I might say we're on the radio, Hallie here is a very petite young woman who seems just like the sweetest little thing in the world. And so to be going out with, you know, serious issues.
Yeah.
I imagine you caught people off guard.
What's the response been?
There is a very good response. Some people are hesitant, and they think that third parties will, they say too much is at stake. Mm. And I agree, there is too much at stake to continue to vote for capitalists who do not have our interest in mind. But mostly people's response is very positive. And once you'd say corporations and say banks, they're like, oh yeah, this is true. Why are there billion-dollar corporations when kids go to horrible schools with lead in their water? Why is there a billion-dollar casino and stadium in Detroit in a city surrounded with people that are starving and hungry and living in poverty? You just have to drive through it and look and see that it's a system, it's engineered, it's not just personal achievement or personal things. It's systematic.
Hallie, did you have to have a number of signatures to get your name on the ballot? And
yes.
And what was that like?
Well, I joined the party later, mm-hmm. but they started it in 2016. They had to get, I think, 50,000 signatures or way more than that. But they just had to walk around the street, ask people to sign, and then to stay on the ballot, you have to get a certain number of votes. Marianne got 200,000. So she kept us on the ballot, and here we are in 2018.
It's nothing to sneeze at, is it?
And you mentioned walking the dogs in Lincoln Park when we talk about 3rd District for Michigan Senate. What communities and what general area does that cover? I mean, you don't need to know it block by block. It's probably, you know, I mean, gerrymandering's an issue, so I don't know the district looks like. But what general areas of the community are we, you know, the Metro Detroit area, are we looking at that comprise the district?
So District 3 is Dearborn, parts of Melvindale and Detroit. I moved from Lincoln Park to Dearborn, so I live by Henry Ford College and my work. And that is District 3. It's like Ford Road, and I can get my phone and read all the streets right now if you want.
They're tough to follow, I get it.
Yeah, but south of Ford Road and sort of that general area, part of Dearborn, extending into, you said, Melvindale, which I guess would be east of Southfield Freeway, sort of that part. Yeah, correct. Okay.
Let me ask this, and we just have a moment left to talk, Haley, but when you go through the process of doing something this big, whatever the outcome is, do you feel that this is a part of who you are, a part of what you intend to do sort of for the long term? And I know you're a student of our college, and that's a wonderful thing. What are you studying, and is that related in any way to your political aspirations or service
Definitely.
Aspirations?
Definitely. I joined college when I started realizing how evil capitalism is. I became terrified, and I wanted to learn what I could do to help. I'm getting a history degree. Trying to learn from past mistakes and make the future better. And I'm glad I did join college, because my first semester I met Marianne, and I feel like that was fate, maybe.
And so, long-term, ultimate goal, 10 years out, what do you see yourself doing?
I don't know. Learning as much as I can and trying to use that for good. I guess, as cliche as that sounds.
It's a pretty good goal. Wish more people had that goal, actually.
Yeah,
pretty good. Well, it's been a pleasure learning more about you, Haley. Wish you success in
thank
your
you
studies
so much.
And in your personal and professional and political goals here. We thank you for taking the time. I know it's right around the corner, as we talked about.
Busy. Other than voting, how do you plan on spending next Tuesday, Election Day?
I will be on campus in class, and then I'll
and I hope you'll take time out to vote between
definitely,
classes.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I encourage all of, you know, however they're going to vote, all of, you know, my students at least, is to get out to the polls and make sure that if they're eligible, if they're registered, to be out there and voting.
So. Yeah, you got it. Well, we thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate
pleasure.
It.
Pleasure. We've got more on the way. This is the Student Perspectives edition of the WHFR Journal. And coming up next, we're going to talk to a student who is, let's just say at the top of his game when it comes to getting out the vote. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Andy Parks, the host of Strictly Gospel. Join me every Sunday afternoon when we'll have nothing but the very best in gospel jazz, gospel hip-hop, urban contemporary, and praise and worship. You name it, all things gospel, but strictly gospel, on the station that's making waves, WHFR.FM. Your mercies are new every
morning. Welcome back. It's the WHFR Journal here at 89.3, always making waves, also online at WHFR.FM. I don't know, do we make waves or do we stir electrons? I have no idea how that whole internet thing works.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, right, exactly. Anyway, so it's great to be back with you for the WHFR Journal. Just a, you know, obviously a great discussion so far, talking about the lead up to a very big day coming up, 24, 48, 70, 96 hours from now on Tuesday. See how quick I did the math?
Very good.
Nice. All right. Anyway, speaking of doing math, if you didn't do your math correctly and pay all of your fines for overdue books, one thing I want to mention before we move into our next segment, kind of your get out of jail free card, Food for Fines takes place and opens up. It started yesterday at the Dearborn Public Library System. Basically, the campaign is start here and feed the community. If you have overdue fines on your library account, for the next 2 weeks, you can reduce or potentially eliminate your overdue fines and help those in need, especially as we head into Thanksgiving, the holiday season, and the winter months, by making a non-perishable food donation at any Dearborn Public Library location. For each non-perishable, not expired, or soon to be expired boxed or canned food item, larger than single serving size, $1 in library fines will be waived. So for those of us who remember to turn our books in on time, sometimes we forget, but most of the time we try. You'll have your fees reduced based on the amount of stuff that you can bring in. Suggested food items include what you would think to be the normal staples: canned soup, instant potatoes, canned juice, canned vegetables, low sodium preferred, or fruit canned in their own juice or 100% juice. Dried or canned beans, rice, multigrain pasta, canned or jarred spaghetti sauce, and Jell-O, boxed macaroni and cheese, baby food especially, also formula and infant cereal accepted. No items that are past their recommended expiration date accepted. So make sure that it's the good stuff. Do something good for the community. Mm-hmm. And if you have some of those fines sitting there keeping you from going to the library, get them out of the way so you can go back and support another great community institution.
Yeah, that's very good. We talk about the process of voting, and I can't think of an organization that has done more, at least for me, in educating me on rights and responsibilities and candidates and proposals and so on, as much as the League of Women Voters. And we are so fortunate to have a Dearborn Heights location or branch or entry to this wonderful organization that is just top-notch, and they have been very busy in getting these voter guides out that we've been talking about for weeks, and cards for students to say to their friends, make sure you get out to vote, and we're sending things in the mail, and so much information available. We know that the school is up for a millage renewal, and we also have school board members being up for election and so on, and there are 8 candidates running for 2 4-year terms. Then we have one unopposed candidate running here at the Dearborn School Board level for a 2-year term. And we are also talking about ballot proposals. Proposal 18-1 is the legalization of marijuana. Proposal 18-2 is the redistricting proposal. And then 18-3 is the one for voting rights. And there's a lot of heavy stuff going on as it relates to all 3 proposals. I don't think any of them is going to be straight arrow all the way through. I think there's going to be some excitement, I guess, at the polls this time around. But when we talk about the millage request here at the college, just understand that the proposal is in response basically to Michigan law.
Yeah, read the language of the proposal. Obviously, we can't advocate for it or have anything specific to say about it, but we can read the language of what this proposal is going to be when people in Dearborn and Dearborn Heights walk into the polls.
That's exactly
on Tuesday,
right.
And have to decide whether they're going to vote yes or no on it.
You got it. And it's a little detailed, but it's a proposal that would continue the existing 1 mill levied by the school district in the city of Dearborn and allocated to Henry Ford College for general operating purposes, which the millage was voted on in 2013 for 5 years and which will expire with the school district 2018 tax levy for 5 years from 2019 to 2023 inclusive. And it gets a little interesting. It says, shall the currently authorized...
I didn't mean to make you work that hard, but...
That's okay. Millage rates of 1 mil, it's one per $1,000 of taxable value, as you know. That's what 1 mil is, which will expire with the school district of the city of Dearborn's 2018 levy, be renewed, and the amount of taxes which may be assessed against all taxable property in the school district of the city of Dearborn, County of Wayne, Michigan, except property exempted by law is levied for 5 years, 2019 through 2023 inclusive, to continue to provide funds... This is the key, for operating expenses of Henry Ford College. If approved, the millage would raise an estimated $4.2 million for the college district in 2019. And really, by Michigan law, community colleges are funded by state appropriations, student tuition and fees, and local property taxes. 1 mil of HFC's property tax revenue expires this year, as I just said, stated in the language. In order to continue to receive the funding, the college has to place the renewal proposal on the ballot, and that's why you see it there for voters to consider. consider. How much does that affect, based on 2018 information? One mill will cost the average homeowner about $54 per year, or $4.50 per month, the same amount they are currently paying. When the voters approved the mill in 2013, the homeowner was... the payment was about $375 a month. Home values have increased, so the millage really has increased by 75 cents per household on average since 2013. So that's sort of the nuts and bolts of it. And while we certainly are encouraging everybody to get out to vote, we are taking no official position, as we are not allowed to.
But spend some time looking that one over decide how you feel about the value that that provides. Or doesn't provide, from your perspective, when it comes time to making a decision on that particular proposal.
You got it. Speaking of making decisions, a wonderful telecommunications student by the name of Justin Randles made a decision not that long ago, and it was to enter a contest with some support from some school colleagues as well as some younger students, and he basically took a project that could have seemed like a little crazy, over the top, way too much information, way too much detail, and he broke it down into 30 seconds of pure genius, may I say. And Justin is here to talk to us about this this award-winning video that he created for a contest. It was the Vote 411 competition to make a 30-second public service announcement through the League of Women Voters, Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, and I think we happen to have that audio version of the video with us now.
Let's listen to it, and then we can talk about it. So we're going to start here with the award-winning PSA for getting out the vote from the Dearborn, Dearborn Heights League of Women Voters.
Last midterm, 60% of Michigan residents did not vote.
We can do better.
If you're having trouble finding a good reason to vote,
maybe we can help. Vote for my future. Vote for my generation.
And generations to come.
Vote for my country.
Vote for our country.
Vote to keep me safe.
Vote for my safety.
If you can't find a reason to vote for yourself,
if you can't find a reason to vote,
vote for me.
Vote for me.
Vote for me.
Vote for us.
Get informed to vote. Vote411.org is the webpage that this PSA was in support of. And welcome to our microphones here at the WHFR Journal.
Thank you.
Not for the first time, Justin Randles. And tell us a little bit about the process of putting this together.
Well, the process was, I heard about it in class from Professor McGraw. And at first, I kind of was... I wasn't really interested, and then I went and read it, and the first option for the, I think there was four different type of commercials you can make, really spoke to me, and it was like kind of the call to action to get complacent voters to the poll, and I think that's so important going into the midterm. So it was almost immediate. The motivation came, and then the idea came, and by the time I had gotten home from school that day, I pretty much had the idea for it in my head.
We didn't have the benefit of seeing the people who were saying, vote for me, vote for me, vote for me. These weren't politicians.
No.
What was the concept then of showing, and it looked to me at least, and again, the listeners didn't have the benefit of seeing them, school children saying, vote for me. What does that mean?
Yeah, the concept is... it's pretty simple. It's if you can't find a reason to vote, at the beginning of the PSA, it says that 60% of Michigan voters didn't turn out for the midterms. That's insane. That's an insane amount of voters. And so in order to get to encourage the votes, I was thinking from a perspective of if you can't find a reason to vote, then vote for somebody you care about. And the approach that I took with this was like high school age children, because they don't have a voice, but in today's climate, I think that they have some passion towards it. And that was kind of the motivation behind it.
How long did it take to put it together once you had the concept in your head from sort of start to finish of production and editing and all that stuff? And I know Elias Perry was sort of our tech person, as you kind of explained, so he did a great job with that. But it was certainly a team effort.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about that process.
Yeah, so the idea came, and I think it was 2 weeks total, but from the time that I wrote the script on a Monday, and we filmed and edited it by the following Monday. So from start to finish, it took 7 days, but really we only shot one day. And then, like you said, Elias really, he put so much work in on the editing portion, and really made it what I really wanted to see in the video. He was able to bring it to light and show it. So it really worked out.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that. Did it ultimately do what you sort of initially intended, and you just said yes. So
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. The first few times I watched it, this is going to sound arrogant, but I don't mean it to, it gave me goosebumps. So I felt like the message, though simple, was powerful. And I think that, and I have received some feedback that was similar to that. So it's not just my own self loving my own self here.
Well, and I was going to say, other than, accepting it and, giving you the award for the best PSA, what kind of comments did League of Women Voters and the folks at Vote 411, have to say about it? Why did they think it was effective?
Yeah, they really did. I feel like they did. On Friday, last Friday at the student I don't know what it's called.
Political issues convention. Event, yes.
We were awarded the certificates for it, and the few people that were there from the LWV were really excited to meet us and really excited about the video. I think they were happy with the outcome. Yeah, so the feedback from everybody has been pretty solid.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're practicing what you're preaching. You believe in this process of getting people motivated, getting them out to vote. But this is also something, oftentimes I'll put out contest requests and things, but you actually did it. And it's kind of like, to me, that's sort of a metaphor for the process of voting. We have these ideas. You don't know how many contests I put out there to students and say, try this. You can do this. You can be good at this. This is going to be good. And so you not only took the challenge, you did it, you won it. And it was a $300 prize, by the way, might I add. So that's nothing to laugh at. Not to mention the fact that you get to put this on your resume, your reel, your demo.
Absolutely.
To do, to help forward your career, goals and so on. So, I sort of think of that as a metaphor for the whole process of voting in general.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
Kind of like your story sort of represents that, what can happen should you make the effort and take the initiative and do what you need to do.
Yeah. It was the first time probably in my life that I had an idea that I turned into a finished outcome completely. And it was super rewarding for me personally. And I think Elias also really was moved by it. And
good. Well, you should be proud of yourself.
And
I am absolutely going to say that Henry Ford College should take the credit for this one. We've been taking credit for students all day long, but I'm taking credit for you. No,
it's all on you.
It
would have never, had I not had your class, I'd have never even known about the contest.
So. Well, unsolicited, but I'll take it. No, we congratulate you. We thank you for your time today and keep up the great success.
Thank you.
All right. We've got more to come. Stay with us.
Each week on Light from the Underground, I spotlight songwriters. We'll cross genres so that you can hear the widest variety of music. I'm your host, Bill Keith, and I enjoy digging through all the new releases we've received to find the best new music for you. Some of the artists you'll hear include iconic artists like Robert Plant, local favorites like the Appleseed Collective, and lesser-known songwriters like Damian Jurado. We're so fortunate that Henry Ford College has made it possible for WHFR.FM. Their investment allows us to continue digging deep to find you the best new music. Check out Light from the Underground on the second and fourth Saturdays at 10 a.m. on 89.3 WHFR.FM. We're making waves.
Welcome back. This is the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. Susan McGraw and I are so grateful that you have spent part of your Friday afternoon with us here at WHFR. And we're going to move on our program today to go back and spend a little bit of time talking about sports here at the HFC campus and in the community, and welcoming in, as we always do when we talk sports, Mr. Josh Hebert, the sports editor from the Mirror News here at HFC.
Yeah. Hi, thanks for having me again, Susan, Alan. Let's start a little close to home.
I was going to say, we have a lot to talk about, don't we?
We do. We have volleyball. We have playoffs in high school football. We have the end of a few seasons and beginning of a few seasons here on the campus, too.
Well, let's start talking about volleyball, and we mentioned it on an earlier program. This was, you know, big news. They made the playoffs, hosted where was the game?
It was actually at St. Clair County Community College.
So up there in the Port Huron area, it's obviously a great return to form for the women's volleyball program to be able to make conference the tournaments. Yeah, so tell us about it.
Yeah, the volleyball team did play on Halloween here a few days ago, and sadly they could not overcome Cuyahoga Community College.
Cuyahoga.
Yeah, Cuyahoga. Thank you.
From Ohio, yes.
And they lost in three straight sets to Cuyahoga,
mm-hmm.
however we want to pronounce it right now. So, I mean, we did have that, but it was a good season for the women's volleyball team coming to the playoffs after coming back from a few year hiatus.
And a great experience to, you know, sort of be in that, you know, that playoff environment, the winner go home.
I think that's
something that, the women will learn from. And certainly, wish them, or we congratulate them on the success of getting to that point, and wish them, even more success in the future.
Yeah. Then we also have the golf season here on campus. It wrapped up here about a week ago now, and the special awards for the fall season for golf has came out.
Okay.
And we did have one player, Matthew Kolbasa. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong, but he was named to the all-freshman second team and was also named two spots away from being all conference.
Oh, wow.
So good thing for the golf team. Of course, I mentioned a few weeks ago, Alana Jones, who was a female golfer on the golf team this year.
On the men's golf team. Yeah. Yes, right. And certainly contributing significantly to the team. Yeah, right.
And then with the winter season, we get ready for basketball, and we have a full slate of games coming up in this next week. Starting tomorrow, the women's basketball team will be here at home at 2 p.m. in the gym. Then on Wednesday the 7th, the men's basketball team will be at home 7 p.m. And then next Saturday, November 10th, both men's and women's basketball are both home. The women will tip off at 1 p.m., the men at 3 p.m.
And are these preseason games, or are they starting regular season already?
It did not say with what I was looking at, so okay. I'm assuming they're getting ready to dive right in to everything.
Well, we certainly wish them success, and as we have talked about in the past, great to see a women's basketball team back on the court.
Very much
here
so.
At HFC.
It was a three-year hiatus for the women's team. They're going to be led into battle by Coach Gwen Burton, who I have had the pleasure of talking with and has shown a high interest and high motor mentality coming in to be her first year as the Hawks head coach.
And as we change athletic seasons, sadly, we don't have that many local high school football teams to talk about left in the playoffs.
No, we don't,
do we, Josh?
We have a few, though. We do have a few.
Right. So why don't you recap for us what happened last week with the first weekend, district semifinals of the high school playoffs?
Yeah, we had Dearborn and Belleville going head to head. Belleville edged out Dearborn 28-7. Fordson and Grosse Pointe South went head-to-head. Fordson came out on top by a 2-touchdown lead.
It's a good team this year.
It is.
Yeah.
Wyandotte lost to Franklin. I got that one wrong, and I got it wrong bad as Wyandotte fell 38-14. Allen Park had a close game over Riverview. Back-and-forth game. Allen Park came out on top by a field goal, 23-20. And then Trenton, in what I think could be the most shocking game of the early playoffs so far, They beat Carlson 22-21. Carlson had a chance to win it with about 30 seconds left. Went for a two-point conversion, didn't get it. Trenton moves on.
Part of you says, you know, I mean, yeah, yay for going for it, right? Yeah. You know, instead
that,
of
that just shows,
kicking the kick and yeah, tying it up and
taking it to overtime.
I, you know, you have to always respect yeah, that. And I think coaches, whatever, you know, even on the other sideline, whatever they may feel about each other, when their teams are on the field playing against each other, they respect that.
Yeah, very much yeah, so. This week, though, we do have Belleville, who is in the league, the same league as Dearborn, taking on Monroe. We have Allen Puck and Trenton in a rematch of a game from the beginning of the season, actually week one, where Trenton edged out Allen Puck just slightly down at Wayne State. Both of those games are on Friday or tonight at 7 p.m.
Okay.
And then Fordson, 9-1, will travel to Cass Tech, 11-0, tomorrow, 1 p.m., which
that's gonna be a good
one, that's gonna be a good game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that Fordson and Cass Tech game is actually gonna be possibly the best game of the playoffs here in the area and possibly the state. I was able to go watch Fordson a few times earlier this year. They have a tough defense. They can break a run or two if they need to. Cass Tech, always a powerhouse in the mm-hmm, area, always has players who are looked at by the big colleges, Michigan, Michigan State, all of those. But I have Fordson winning that game, big play on defense to seal it.
Okay.
I have Allen Puck getting revenge on Trenton, and then I have Belleville getting by Monroe.
All right. Sounds good. We look forward to seeing how things turn out, both on the football field and if you listen to the first three quarters of our program, what happens in the voting booth next week when it comes to Election Day on Tuesday. Whatever you do, get out and vote. Vote the way that you feel is appropriate for you. And Susan McGraw and I will be back next Friday afternoon, and we'll pick up the pieces and sort of go through whatever the heck's going to happen in the next week or so. I'm Alan Mazurek. Josh Hebert, thanks for joining us for the WHFR Journal. Yep. Everybody have a great weekend, and we will see you next Friday at 1 o'clock here on WHFR, Making Waves.
Hi, this is your girl, Blues Lady Champagne, the Beast of the Blues, from WHFR 89.3 Dearborn. You want the blues? Come on and get you some every Friday night from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. playing some of the latest and the greatest local and national artists from all over the world. Live interviews with special guests, live performances in the studio, live stream on your internet, www.whfr.fm. Tune it in every Friday night from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. The station is making waves on your radio. WHFR 89.3 Dearborn, with your host, the Beast of the Blues, Lady Champagne. Turn your ears on. Come on and take a ride in the driver's seat. I'm getting ready to take you for a ride on the blues. Tune it in. Come on. See you there.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.